happy to have my next two guests join me. Sherita Evans is the president and CEO of Women Employed, and Robin Staines is the executive director of Advance Illinois. Sherita, Robin, good morning, and welcome to WVON. How are you both?
Delighted to be with you.
You almost did that in perfect rhythm. I appreciate that.
And Rufus, I just need to correct my last name. It's Ellen.
Ellen.
So it's
thank
Ellen
you.
With an S on the end. Yes.
Yes, and that's exactly how I wrote it. I just can't speak when I write. But thank
that
you.
It's absolutely okay. A lot of people struggle with it.
Thank you for that. I want to be better than all those people, so I'm not going to mess it up anymore. And Robin, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We just don't do it often enough.
That is so true, but we've got a great topic to talk about this morning. So
Let's talk about it.
I'm tickled.
Funding for public universities. Tell me what's happening.
So, Rufus, we have a crisis in Illinois on a couple of fronts in higher education. We have significantly decreasing enrollments in our public universities, down overall by over 7%, but more specifically, Black enrollment is down by close to 30%. In public universities. And you know that when you earn a degree, there's a lot of chatter out there. Maybe we don't need it. Maybe it's not worth it. But the truth is, when you earn a degree, your ability to be employed, your lifetime earnings, and a whole bunch of other health and other outcomes go way, way up. So it matters that we make sure that our universities are accessible to all students. And one of the challenges is we've been disinvesting as a state. We spend about half as much today in inflation-adjusted dollars as we did 20 years ago. Half as much. And what that means is that tuition has been skyrocketing. And the more tuition goes up, the more it pushes out students, and the more it pushes out students from low-income households, Black students, Brown students. So we've got a strategy to fix that, but that's the problem we're trying to solve.
And Robin, I'm sorry, if I can just add in, you know, you talked about the earning potential. We do have data that lets us know that in Illinois, for folks that have a college or a post-secondary degree, their earnings double. And we also know that not only is enrollment down for Black and Latinx students or for Black students, the graduation rates, which I think is even more important, are also down. So in Illinois, our universities are only graduating 37% of the Black students that are enrolled in only 53% of the Latinx students. And so I think that is pretty significant and the basis of why we needed to create this formula.
Absolutely. And what you all have shared is concerning and alarming on every level. When we think about, first, let's talk about this decline in Black enrollment, down 30%. What do you think is the cause of that? Is that because of the lack of resources there at the college level, the lack of money we have to pay for it, or is there something else that's going on that causes this kind of decline?
There's no question that affordability is a huge issue and a huge piece of this. You hear both for students enrolling, but also to Sherita's point, students persisting and completing, that there are a lot of students that drop out. In fact, the majority of students that leave once they're there are passing all their classes. It's not an academic issue. It's that they either can't afford it or they don't feel they are getting the support or they don't feel the belonging. So we've got real work to do beyond just funding, but funding will also enable universities to put more supports in place.
And currently, Illinois schools are among the highest public universities and colleges across the country. And so when you look at affordability and you look at what options are available for students, oftentimes, they're bypassing Illinois universities and colleges.
And let's be clear for everybody. When we talk about public universities, which ones are we speaking of here in Illinois?
You know, this is Illinois State University, Northern Illinois University, Northeastern, Governor State, Chicago State, Southern Illinois, and then, of course, the University of Illinois, at Urbana-Champaign and the Chicago and Springfield, and then Western and Eastern Illinois.
So all the universities, except the private ones, obviously are the public ones. What do you think that we can do then if the less money is coming in currently from the state and other places, more money is coming in from students, making it less affordable because the costs to them are going up? What's the plan?
Well, the good news is we have one.
There is a plan.
Yes. there was a commission on equitable public university funding that took over 2 years to study this issue, to say, look, what's going on? What are other states trying to do? What's a better path? And the result is a report came out in March, and the report has now been codified in a bill, Senate Bill 3965, which was filed by Senator Kimberly Lightford. There's going to be a House bill probably to follow with Representative Carol Ammons, who have been just real champions and leaders here. But the big idea is to say we ought to understand what every university needs to spend, given its programs and given its student body. And once we understand what they need to spend, let's look and see what they have available to spend against that, and then understand what their adequacy gap is. And when we do that, and that took 2 years, because that's a lot of calculations, that's a lot of, you know, scrubbing of information. What it tells us is that we've got universities that are at 39% of adequacy, Rufus. They have 39 cents on the dollar of what they need to serve their kids and serve their mission. And universities that have as much as 92% of what they need, with the majority of universities having 60% of what they need or less. And it tells us two things as a state. One, how much money we need to invest over the next 10 to 15 years to get everybody to full funding. But it also tells us who needs that money the most urgently. And so the bill also calls for a way of getting dollars more fully and significantly to those universities that are furthest from full funding.
So, Robin, we've been talking education all week, and certainly we talk about the issues of public education and K through 12. This takes it to another level. Where, even within this funding formula, are we seeing, where's the money going to come from?
That's a really good question. And that is what we have to work with the governor's office and our legislators to figure out, because one thing that we know for certain is that the formula calls for all the universities' current funding to remain intact. And so the formula distribution heavily depends on new revenue that is coming in. And there is no question that there is a significant investment needed and required for all of our universities as they all have been disinvested in over the last decade. So we know that it's going to require new money. But that has never stopped us as a state from figuring out how to figure out where to get new revenue to do the things that we need to do, and this needs to be one of those priorities.
But let me give you, Rufus, just to give you the scary number. It's early. I hope everybody's drinking their coffee and they're ready to go.
I was staying away from the number, Robin.
I'm gonna hit it because I think we need to get our heads around it. That. Yeah. By the analysis the commission undertook, we are $1.4 billion underfunded. And you're seeing it show up, right? Western Illinois is making major cutbacks. Northern Illinois is under pressure. You haven't heard it as much, but many of our other universities are. And we know why. They're $1.4 billion underfunded. We're not going to fix that problem quickly. The bill calls for an 11-year commitment of $135 million additional dollars every year. That is not, chump change, but that's what it takes. I mean, it is what it is. That is what our students need if we want to be sure they can both enroll and complete. But the good news here is that this really is an investment and will give us a return. That if we make this investment, tens of thousands of more students will be able to enroll and complete, and that will return billions of additional dollars to the state coffers. So yes, it's expensive, but we get that money back by multiples. And if we do not invest, by contrast, we're going to continue to, it's going to cost the state.
But I think what it also does, because we talk about this being a student-centered bill and a student-centered formula, it takes the strain off of increased tuition and fees off of the student and put it with the state where it belongs. And so we want to make sure that the state is paying its fair share to the public colleges and universities to make sure that those costs don't have to be passed down to students, and quite frankly, majority of the students that can't afford it anyway.
Indeed. Now, I'm going back to this 30% that you mentioned. Is it, it's down 30% and we're not graduating at the levels that we should, even with it being down.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a double mm-hmm. whammy as it relates to black
yep.
students.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Absolutely. And think what that does over time to families, to communities, and ultimately to the state. I mean, we want Illinois to be an opportunity and a state that offers those opportunities. It's a place you come to knowing that you're going to have opportunities to better your own circumstances, but also those of your family and your communities. And we've really been moving in the wrong direction in higher ed.
Well, I'm glad you all have identified it and identified the size of the hole, because that's important to know in order to do anything. We're talking to Sherita Ellens, L and S at the end. She's the president and CEO of Women Employed, and Robin Staines from Advance Illinois. We'll have more with them. And ladies, you've generated a number of calls, and we'll take your calls when we come back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking with Robin Staines of Advance Illinois and Sherita Ellens of Women Employed about this new bill that establishes the adequate and equitable funding formula for public universities using an adequacy-based, student-centered approach that targets new state dollars to universities furthest from the funding that they need to serve their students. And just to kind of review what we've heard so far, that the success of public university students depends on adequate, sustainable, and equitable state funding, but we're currently out of date with these funding, and the gaps has been increasing. There's new legislation that's been put forth by Senator Lightfoot that really looks to establish adequate and equitable funding, an adequate and equitable funding formula that will try and help remove this $1.4 billion deficit over the next 10 to 15 years to ensure that all universities have adequate resources. Sherita, Robin, how did we get here?
How did we get here? Part of it is because we don't have a formula. And so the way that dollars were historically appropriated to schools were how effective these schools were at advocating to receive those funds. And that went on for years and years. And then we went through a period of time where schools received cut in funding. We won't talk about that administration. And so now here we are in since Governor Pritzker has been in office, over the last few years, we've seen an increase in funding to public universities, but those increases are flat, meaning all universities are receiving the exact same increase. So if it's a 7% increase, then it's a 7% increase across the board. Well, no different than if you were underpaid in one job, and then you go to the next job and you get a 10% increase, you're still underpaid. And so what we want to make sure is that this formula addresses the fact that there are inequities in the formula, and there are schools that are further away from adequacy than others. And what we want to make sure is that as we look at how new dollars are being invested, and they have been invested over the last few years, that those dollars are distributed in a way that begins to close the gap for the schools that have the highest gaps first, but still keep in mind that all schools still need increased funding. So it will ensure that all of our universities are getting increased funding. However, how that funding comes in will have an equitable distribution to it, unlike the ways that we've done it in the past.
Got it. Now, this is...
Can I just add one thing?
Of course.
Just so your listeners understand, the way we currently make decisions as a state about mm-hmm. what to send to our universities is essentially every university comes individually to the legislature and says, here's what we need, here's what we want, here's what we'd like. And the governor, the General Assembly, they make those decisions without any understanding of what they should be spending. They don't know. We got more money, we'll give you more. We got less, we'll give you less. It's not right. anchored to or based on what do universities actually need if they're going to teach students about engineering and if they're going to turn out doctors, and what do they need if they've got students who are first-generation goers or have come from underfunded high schools who may need some additional support but can absolutely be successful with that support. So what the big idea other also here is we took the time and the trouble to figure out what do universities need? What should we be spending based on those missions, based on their programs, based on the students they serve? So for the first time as a state, when we make a funding decision, it's based on something real.
Mm-hmm. Which helps a lot, as we all know. Anybody who has a bill to pay understands how that works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to know what you're getting for it.
Exactly. So this is proposed legislation. What does it stand, and what is it that our listeners can do?
So right now it's in the Illinois Senate under SB 3965. And your listeners, one, educate themselves on this process, but also contact their state senators and let them know that this is a priority and this is something that they should be moving forward. They need to understand and hear that this is important to Illinois residents and families and students.
Also, there is a coalition that has come together mm-hmm. around this work. The coalition to transform higher education.
Ahead, Robin. It's a long time.
I know. It's right. A terrible, but it says exactly what it is. The coalition to transform higher education funding. Let me say that again. The coalition mm-hmm. to transform higher education funding. And your listeners can go there and they can sign up, add their name, because when legislators see that people are paying attention, they're going to pay attention. So make those calls, like Sherita said. Go to the coalition website, sign on, indicate that you're interested and that you know it matters that students have that opportunity. Maybe not everybody needs or wants to go to a four-year, but a lot more need and want to go that are currently able to do so. And when they get there, we are not supporting them to complete the way we should. We can do better. We know how to do better. This is a moment where if people make some noise, they can be heard. There's a bill on the table. We can get this done.
Indeed.
That website is transformhighered.org. So transformhighered.il for Illinois.org.
Great. And you gave the numbers of what the differences are in earnings for those who get these 4-year degrees mm-hmm. versus those who don't. If it doesn't end, as you noted, it makes a difference in the additional taxes that are paid into the state by higher earning people over their lifetime. So this makes a difference and it's positive all the way through. Sherita Ellens, Robin Staines, I'm going to try to get in one call before I let you guys get out of here. Thurgood, good morning. Welcome to VON. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. What a tremendous panel. Thank you for your service. Just a couple of observations. I'm a sort of a policy and numbers guy. Your guest noted that the gap for funding is approximately $1.5 billion to fully fund our colleges. You had on recently the CEO of Chicago Public Schools. He referenced a $1 billion gap for CPS schools. My observation is we need to tax the billionaires, tax the corporations, and divert funds from the defense budget to make up for this gap. Point one, Illinois' richest citizens, Ken Griffin and Mr. Walmart, the guy who owns the Walmart, their wealth is in excess of $15 billion, with a B. They could write you a check for 10%, $1.5 billion each, and make up this gap. Ken Griffin, notoriously, he purchased 3 homes in a span of 1 year in excess of $1 billion, with a B. So and another observation, the Department of Defense, the most recent aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, cost $5 billion, with a B. We have more aircraft carriers than any other country in the world. So there's the money is there. I know that Governor Pritzker proposed, when he first came into the administration, a tax on people like himself, billionaires. Unfortunately, the voters were bamboozled and then did not pass it. But this is a very, very important issue. It is hypocritical to look at the headlines and say it is, the Mayor Johnson's fault or the look at the crime rate and not have a path to people to educate themselves. When I went to college, the tuition was 10 bushels of corn. But prices have increased since then. and so, you know, it is, but all joking aside, you know, if you are a young man, a young woman, and, you know, you're trying to have a vision, I mean, it was very, you know, you've told your story, we told our story about the obstacles in terms of finance, where is going to be paid for this? But this is extremely important. So the point of it is, healthcare and education is free in most Western industrial societies. We can do this. No reason for us not to fully fund our schools. Again, there is no greater hypocrisy to point to a crime rate and not point to our failure to finance our education. And the numbers for African Americans decreasing to the rate by 30% is totally unacceptable in a state where we stir the drink in terms of our vote. So I applaud the scholarship that's been done here, and I applaud your vision. Thank you again for your service to our community.
Very good, as always. Thank you for those comments. Robin Staines, Sherita Ellens, Women Employed, Advance Illinois. Thank you both, as Thurgood said, for the work that you're doing, elevating this. And folks, we'll do our part to try and help move this forward.
Thank you for having us on this morning.
Letting us raise awareness. We hope this helps. And please feel free to have us back. This is going to be a journey, and it, we could take some of that energy that Thurgood didn't channel it. That's all to the good.
And I got a bank of callers.
We're taking Thurgood on the road with us.
Yeah, he's a good one. I got a bunch of callers also on here. Callers, stay on. I'll try to get to you all before the show is up. But Robin and Ellen, again, thank you both for coming on with us this
Thanks
morning.
For having us.
Thank
right.
you.
Be well. I'm sorry, Sherita. Okay. Sherita
Bye.
Ellens.
That's okay.
All right.
Yes.
Bye now.
Thank you. Have a good
Bye.
Morning.
You too.